Welcome back to another edition of the OHIO podcast. I am your host, Buckeye Boggs. That man over there is in the know, JR. Welcome back to the show, JR. That man down there is the wild man, Chris Wilds, who is still hanging on by a thread tonight after a wild and crazy weekend over there in the Tiffin flea markets, pushing those wares of his, them Ohio State jerseys and memorabilia. And did you have a good weekend doing it, by the way?
Been better. Been better. But okay. It wasn't a complete waste of time.
All right. Good deal. And you are you, and we're thankful to have each and every single one of you in the house tonight with us as we've got a power pack show with some pretty good stuff, courtesy of Nebraska, out of all places. And we're going to continue working our way through the 2024 previews. We got a defensive lineman we're going to talk about tonight. And guys, Ohio State just keeps banging out top 50 recruits. We got another one today, guys. It is absolutely insane what is happening over at the Woody Hayes Athletic Center. And I'm just going to come right out and ask it. With this, given this momentum so far in June, given the commits that we have, are we watching Ryan Day build the greatest recruiting class in Ohio State history? JR, your thoughts?
I mean, it's going to be hard to beat Urban. I don't think right now it's the greatest. I think it has the potential to be there. What year? Off the top of my head, what was the year with all the 2019 guys? Was that 16? 16.
You're talking about like Chase Young and
those guys in it. No, that would have been 17. Anyway, I can't remember off the top of my head, but it's definitely going to be one of the most balanced classes in Ohio State history, as long as Justin Fry comes through like we hope he will. So we're hoping for that. But, I mean, they are recruiting every position well. They are trending very well for every position. And, fellas, we got to give a lot of credit to the home state, Ohio. I mean, they have the ability to go out and go get some of these bigger targets because of guys like Tavian St. Clair, who were just ready at home, ready to come to Ohio State. Guys like Bo Jackson, who, you know, you bring Carlos Lachlan in, you get a running back change, and he's still in the game. I mean, a ton of Ohio prospects that are just top tier. And the best news is, I don't think it's changing anytime soon based off what we're hearing from some of this camp stuff. So, it's going to be fun.
Are we going to get McNutt?
People don't like when I talk about McNutt.
Really?
I don't think we will. But I know a lot of other people do. So
I'm one of those who leans that we're going to get him. But today's commitment makes me go, maybe not.
I will say the nice thing about Delane is he's not the same type of player McNutt is.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Delane could turn into a linebacker at some point. If he puts enough weight on and how much he plays in the box now, he could turn into a linebacker. I don't see that as much for McNutt, and so I don't think it should impact McNutt. But based off what I've been told from some other people, there's some behind-the-scenes stuff that I think is preventing McNutt. But I don't want to go any further than that because it's not my business to talk about. It's personal stuff that, yeah.
JR, you don't want to make it personal?
Yeah, I don't want to make it personal with anybody.
You don't want to report on a On3 report or whatever, and then the player come in and say, that ain't true.
Yeah, that's not my style. Naheem offered put me in my place. So,
But you know what? You handled it well, brother.
I was honestly glad I said it. I mean, he put it out there, and I was glad. And I had people in my mentions like, "Man, you suck!" And it's like, "Dude,
actually,
you're an idiot. You don't know."
But because you made that, everybody feels really good about him now again, right?
Well, yeah, and, like, you think if I didn't make that, wouldn't Naheem Hofford have ever heard what that guy said? He just said it on a random Locked On podcast.
Yeah.
And, like,
Locked On, sorry.
Yeah, not On3. On3 has their own problems, but yeah, he just said it on a random Locked On podcast. So who knows if Naeem, I almost called him Naeem, Naeem would have ever acknowledged it. Who knows?
Well, I'll tell you, I think that Ryan Day is actually doing a great job. You know, I saw something earlier that, what is it, Ohio State has more five-star recruits this recruiting cycle than five of the major colleges combined. I mean, it's something. He's on a roll. But, you know, as always, getting the recruits isn't always the hard part. Sometimes it's keeping them.
Right.
I could see it being an issue maybe with some of our Florida guys. We always got to have concern there. But like you did say, the Ohio guys, that's one thing I'm pretty confident about, is our Ohio guys aren't going to go anywhere, which is going to give us a great recruiting class in and of itself.
I think that the recruiting class is in a very healthy spot. I was thinking about tweeting earlier today. I didn't because I got busy with other stuff. But, I mean, the thing that should make other fan bases the most, I don't know if afraid is the right word, but the most concerned right now with this class is that it's not built primarily on the quarterback and the wide receivers like you have seen previous Ohio State classes built before. I mean, you have 10 defensive players in this class, a number of linebackers, number of safeties, good secondary depth, number of defensive ends. Zahir Mathis and London Merritt in there. Things are trending very well for Trajan Odom. I'm echoing a little bit now. But Trajan Odom, things are trending well with him. I mean, I think the wide receivers are going to come. I just think this is the new age that we're in when it comes to wide receiver recruiting. They're going to become kind of like the divas in the NFL to where they like to take their visits and stuff. And I don't fault them for that. I just think that's the way it's going to be.
I believe that the recruiting right now, I didn't really expect to get into all this recruiting talk, and we haven't even got into the intros yet, but let's do this then, guys. Let me give the intros real fast, and we'll wrap up this little talking about recruiting, then we're going to dive into the good stuff tonight. So we are the official podcast of Fansided. If you go over to scarletandgame.com, you can check out the audio version of our podcast and read great articles there, as well as the official Ohio State podcast of, you know it, you love it, the College Huddle. JR's running the College Huddle over on YouTube. I'm running the College Huddle website. We're doing articles. We're doing all kinds of great things over there. 73 great college podcasts, as well as all the national and conference shows. So make sure you go over to thecollegehuddle.com and check that out. Make sure you check us out on social media as well. You can go over to our website, theohiopodcast.com. You can find all of our social media links there, as well as our merch store where you can get this great hat. Unfortunately, you can't find this retro shirt there anymore that I'm sporting with the old logo that Ohio State said was a no-no. But I'm wearing it anyways because, you know, how firm thy friendship, right? So I felt it was a good night to go retro and wear that. But you can get this hat and other our new logo and other merch over there on the merch link on our website. And you can check out Chris's store if he still has anything left after going to
too
much left. Okay, got it. And we do have some great tumblers behind there as well. So, guys, let's wrap up this talk about what's going on with recruiting. I fully expect that there's going to be another boom this week. JR, what do you think?
Yes, I believe so. From what I was told, there are two guys that want to commit, but they're also looking forward to some future visits. There was one of them that I know that people didn't like it when I did this earlier, but silently committed, whatever you want to make of that. We'll see what happens. You never know. I mean, like, if you guys don't know the Bo Jackson story, like, Bo Jackson fully intended on taking the rest of his visits. And then he had a meeting or just a meetup or whatever with somebody very influential in his life. Not sure if it was a parent or some kind of mentor or something like that. And they just basically told him, they're like, dude, if you want to commit, you commit. Don't go on the visits. The money will come in other places. Like, I think things are going to get a whole lot better once these kids can start making some NIL money when they're in high school, at least in the state of Ohio, you're already going to start seeing it in Florida a little bit. You're going to see guys take less visits because they're going to start, I mean, they're going to start doing modeling stuff like Vernell Brown and Jamie French are doing. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's just like, I know that we don't like the idea of people making NIL money, but I'm not saying you have to like it. But I do think it's going to make things in some areas better.
It is what it is, JR. I mean, that's just the era we live in, you know? Whether we like it or not.
The good chef. How does Bo Jackson not end up at Auburn? Because he's an Ohio kid.
That's right.
It's Bo Jackson 2.0.
We want those marketing rights. How does
Jackson not end up at Louisville?
Good question.
Which name would you guys have gone with? Lamar or Bo?
Oh, Bo.
Bo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That close to Cleveland, he didn't have a choice.
No, he didn't.
NIL won't matter in a couple years when they become employees. Yeah, that's, it still will. It still will.
It still will.
Yeah.
I don't think NIL is going anywhere anytime soon.
Money always matters.
I'll just say this. Ohio State is very blessed to have two very good NIL groups. Because, yeah, I'll leave it at that.
All right, let's get into some fun stuff tonight. That's enough of that. We'll continue to keep our eyes and ears open on the recruiting front. Chris and I have some really great videos planned for you all this week. I saw where earlier someone made a comment, I think it was Dick Trickle, about Fickell should be head coach. We're going to be doing a members-only video about Gene Smith and Luke Fickell. I'm going to actually spill the beans on the whole thing. And let everybody know what really happened and why Luke Fickell never got a phone call. And we're going to leave that to the members. So make sure you check that out later this week. We got all the good things. Actually, Devin opened up a huge conversation for us on our call-in show Thursday. We're going to dive deeper into Ryan Day a little bit and with that avenue. And then, of course, we will reveal our top 10 defensive linemen. So, that being said, guys, we can go either way tonight. So I'm going to leave it up to JR, since you were off last week. I will leave it up to you. Do you want to do the top 10 defensive linemen first, or do you want to do the top 5 annoying coaches on Ohio State's schedule this year?
Sorry, Sean Schrock's comment. Let's do the defensive linemen first.
Okay.
I've been excited about this.
Okay, we'll do defensive linemen first. Awesome. So here's how we're going to do it, guys. We're going to go from 10 down to 1. We each are going to give our lists and our reason why. And then I'm going to take all of those numbers, calculate them, and then Chris and I later this week will do a reveal to all of you from the OHIO podcast on what the list is. And this worked out really well for the running backs because JR and I kind of equaled each other out, and we ended up with what I think was, a very fair list is how I think it went out. I have a feeling it's going to happen again for one other player, JR. I think you and I already know who it is because you and I had a little text back and forth with one another, and I was like, how in the world? And you're like, because he hasn't. And I was like, okay, here we go again. JR saying, I haven't seen it, and me saying, it's going to happen. So
you're more into the projection than I am. You're like, this is what they're going to do, and I'm like, here's what they have done.
But I want you to understand you influenced me on this list because there was a couple times I wanted to go higher with some people, and I didn't. Because of you, doggone it. So, Chris, we're going to start with you. We'll just go clockwise. We'll start with Chris on the bottom, then JR, then myself. Feel free, guys, to let your feelings know. By the way, I'll throw this out there. Who do you think, which team has the most defensive linemen on the list? And which team do you think will have the second and third most defensive linemen on this list? That's my question to you guys in the chat. Let me know what you guys think. Chris, number 10, you're up first.
Can I give a hot take really fast?
Go for it.
Top 5 defensive line in the Big Ten next year. Don't sleep on them. Indiana.
It's funny that you threw that out there because my 10th guy is from Indiana.
Here we go. Let's roll.
Yeah, I went with Michael Kamara, the transfer from James Madison. Kid had 53 tackles, 18 and a half tackles for loss, 7.5 sacks, 4 forced fumbles, and 2 pass deflections last year. I think this year they're going to spend the Indiana defense is going to spend a lot of time on the field, so he's going to have a lot of opportunity. We just got to see if he can do the same thing he did over at James Madison in the Big Ten.
All right. I think I remember mine, but let me pull it up really fast just to be sure. Sorry, I was trying to respond to Sean there. My number 10 is Zane Durant from Penn State. I think that Zane is very good on the inside. He was very young last year, was productive early in the season, kind of trickled down a little bit toward the end, but I think that he is poised for a very good year, and he's going to do a really good job. So I don't have a whole lot of stats to back it up because it's hard to back up, you know, defensive tackle play, but I remember watching Penn State and noticing him pretty much every time I watched him because he was just a wrecking ball there in the middle.
Number 10 for me is my first of many Buckeyes on this list, not going to lie, and we're going with Ty Hamilton, 38 tackles, 2 sacks last year. Tried to find a place to get him in a little bit higher on this list, but I do think that there's going to be, and here's me a little bit projecting again, JR, I do think there's going to be a little bit more rotating happening on the defensive line in Columbus, Ohio this year. But I like where Ty Hamilton is trending. I feel he's basically his brother cloned, and the career's paths have been almost exactly the same. And so can he improve on those numbers? Absolutely. I believe early in the season, our defensive tackles are going to absolutely feast. Hopefully they can get off the field early and often and be fresh by the end of the year, because I think Ohio State can win a national championship a la similar to what Clemson did years ago when they had absolute dominant defensive line play and it was led from the middle as opposed to the ends, although I do believe our ends are going to be absolutely fantastic this year as well. Chris, on to number 9.
Well, you know what, Eric? I've got Ty Hamilton at number 9, so I'm not going to sit here and regurgitate everything you said, but yeah, I think this is the year Ty Hamilton really steps up.
I really, really like Ty Hamilton. I don't have him on my list, but I debated him strongly. My next one is another Penn State guy, Dennis Sutton, very good tackler. He had 26 hurries or 26 pressures on the quarterback last year. That is some of the most in the Big Ten all of last year. I think that was more than the Kenneth Grant guy over at Michigan. Trying to check that really fast. Yes, that was more than Kenneth Grant there. So I just think that he is a very strong player and he's able to get off the edge. He's not quite the pass rusher that maybe people would like him to be, but he's a good run stopper and a good tackler. And he drops back in coverage a little bit, and it's been effective when he does that. So,
all right, number 8. Number 8 for me is very similar to where you were at – I'm sorry, number 9 for me, excuse me, was very similar to where you were at with number 10, Chris, except I went with James Carpenter, the transfer from James Madison. 53 tackles, 4 sacks, a forced fumble, and an interception from the defensive tackle position? Holy grenades. Here's the thing. It's James Madison. Now, you look at those numbers and you think that's top 5 for a defensive tackle. You should be higher on this list. Let's see him do it in the Big Ten. But that's where I've got him at this point.
Well, I'll tell you what, for number 8 for me, I'm actually going back to Indiana again. And I looked at Carpenter, but I'm going to go with the big man. Give me C.J. West.
C.J. West.
Big run stopper. Guy's just an absolute beast at 6'2", 315. You know, he can get home from time to time, but he is just huge in the run stop. So I'm going to go with C.J. West.
I'm trying to find the stats on him. I can't find him here, but Jamari Caldwell out of Oregon. I think that he's going to be poised for a good season. I think that he was very strong last year and should be strong again. I know he had good stats.
He had 6.5 sacks last year.
6.5 sacks, yeah. There was something else I wanted to point out with him. I can't find him. Rats. But yeah, I had something. I just can't find it.
Number eight for me, and maybe you can help me with this pronunciation, JR. It's a Minnesota guy. Is it Jay Joyner? J-A-H?
Jaw.
Jaw? Okay. Jaw Joyner. Now, here's the thing about this guy, right? It's all or nothing. Like, he only has 18 tackles last year. That doesn't seem impressive at all. Until you look at how many forced fumbles and sacks he had. 7.5 sacks, 2 forced fumbles. This cat is again, it's all or nothing. I think if he can get a little bit more solid play, consistent play, and maybe this is something we can ask our Sky U Pod friends over there in Minnesota if they see the same thing outside of the statistical anomaly here. Does he need more consistent? Is he just needing more time on the field? Is he more of like a pass specialist? But that's some scary good numbers. 7.5 sacks and only 18 tackles.
He had a couple games, if I'm not mistaken, where he had like 3, 2, and then 2 again or something like that. Like, most of his production was in games against lesser opponents, I believe. I think the game when he had 3 or 4 sacks was against a Big Ten opponent. I'm trying to remember who it was, but I did seriously consider Jaw Joyner for mine. I just went with his big games weren't against big enough opponents for me personally, but I really like what I've seen from him. He's going to be a good player.
He's got incredibly good measurements too. Like, yeah. if he can play into his frame, dude's going to be scary good.
If he stays on the field, it's almost like his production's like a Mike Hall Jr. type of production. What we saw from him in limited action, you know, putting up big numbers. Next, I'm going to go with Darryl Peterson out of Wisconsin. Last year, he had 47 tackles, 10 tackles for loss, 4.5 sacks, 2 deflections. You know, I just think that he is going to excel this year.
All right. Sorry, I found the stat. Jamari Caldwell had 14 QB pressures. 6 of those were sacks. So that was my thing. He didn't play the most last year. He didn't have the most pass rushing snaps, but boy, when he got there for the quarterback, he made sure he made the most of it. All right. Gonna puke when I say this next name. Josiah Stewart from the team up north. I don't like having him on my list at 7th, but he deserves it, and I'll stop talking there. Thank you.
Number 7 for me, we're going over to Oregon, but it's actually an old Michigan State guy, Derek Harmon. 40 tackles last year for Sparty. He had a sack and a half, a forced fumble, and now he's going out there as a redshirt junior in Eugene, and I think he's joining a pretty good a roster for the Ducks, and I think his stats are even going to be even better this year.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm actually going to go ahead and I've got Josiah Stewart in at 6, JR. So like you said, guy was, as much as I hate to say it, you know, very productive at Michigan, 38 tackles, 8.5 tackles for loss, 5.5 sacks. He's a baller.
My number 6 is James Carpenter from James Madison, who's going to be at Indiana this year. I'm with you guys. We'll see how much he is able to do this year in the Big Ten against some of the biggest opponents that he'll face. But here's my thing with him. He took a total of 736 snaps last year from inside the defensive line. Like, I know the G5 doesn't quite have the weight on the inside that the Power 4 does and stuff like that, but still, like, man, nearly 750 snaps. That's wild in one season. So Kirk Cignetti, he brought over a very good defensive lineman with him.
All right, number 6. Gonna have to wash my mouth out after this. Mason Graham. 35 tackles, 3 sacks, a forced fumble. I think he, what?
That low.
Really? You think he should be higher?
I'll talk about it later. Go ahead.
Okay. I think, if I'm not mistaken, JR, he had better stats the previous year.
Yeah, I think he also played more the previous year.
Yeah. It's really hard for me to admit that they're not going to be bad because I want to be like, they lost everybody and they're going to stink. And they're going to be good up front defensively.
They're going to
be good up front defensively. You're right, Sean. They don't have depth, and that's the thing. And we've been saying that just a few injuries, and this thing could go sideways quickly for them. So, yeah, I know, guys. I'm getting the barf symbol from everybody in the chat from that. That's my number six, though.
Can I tell you that my top five all come from two teams?
I'm not surprised. It's going to be Ohio State and the team up north. Yep, I know.
It is.
Yep.
Me too.
At five.
I am shocked neither one of you guys are going to mention the person who I have extremely high, and I cannot believe it. We got another joiner.
I bet it's the kid from Rutgers, isn't it?
No.
No? I really wanted to get him in there, but I just couldn't.
All right, top five. Here we go.
Top five. I'm going to go with Tyleik Williams at five. You know, he good solid season last year. I think he's going to be a beast this year. I got him in at five.
Sleeping on Tyleik, Chris. You're sleeping on Tyleik, man.
I think he's going to do a great job of tying up the middle so that our ends get some opportunity.
My number five, I know he gets all the hype. I know he chased down that running back last year and everybody got so excited with it. But if you notice, he went out of the game right away, right after that. Kenneth Grant, I think that he is a good player, and I think that he can really mess up the middle. He's just not consistent enough being on the field. James Carpenter was on the field 736 snaps last year. Kenneth Grant, I mean, trying to figure out exactly where is it at? Oh, shoot. I just had it. Where'd it go?
You're on the ball, JR.
I had it. He only played 304 snaps last year. Wasn't injured. Played all 12 games. Just only 304. Now, I know Michigan rotates their defensive linemen pretty heavily, but still, like, he got in there for one play, got tired, and left for the next three or four plays. I mean, he's very, very good. Don't get me wrong. But if you can't consistently be in there, like, sorry. Tyleik stays in the game. So.
All right. Number five, Kenneth Grant. Yep, that's two in a row for me from there. I know, guys. I know. Hate me. I get it. 29 tackles, 3.5 sacks. Force fumble and interception, and you're right, JR, they're going to muck things up in the middle. I am convinced that I know what their strategy is this year. It's the same they had last year. We're going to speed the game up by running the football on offense. We're going to try to keep you from running the football on defense. We're not going to let you throw anything over the top. Keep everything in front. And then hopefully our offensive line will be good enough to push. Here's the key to their season. Not only health, but how good that offensive line will be. They are replacing five starters on the offensive line.
Five very experienced starters.
Yes. That is the key to their season, is health and that offensive line. If that offensive line is not nearly as good as they were last year and they can't run the football effectively,
they won't be a 500 team.
They've got no shot.
Yeah.
See, I think they're going to be like the 2022 Ohio State defense, where they're going to give up some big plays over the top because the secondary is not good enough and Wink Martindale is going to blitz too much.
Jeremiah.
Which I don't think is right. I think they have the defensive line to get pressure that way, but I just think certain guys, certain play callers – cannot help but blitz because they just fall in love with it so much. Jim Knowles was able to stop blitzing so much, which we can argue if that was the right idea or not, but he was able to hold himself back. I don't think Wink Martindale is going to be able to. Wink Martindale has been doing this for 20 plus years, and he's blitzed every single time. So.
Tyler says it's going to be huge if they lose Mason Graham or Kenneth Grant at any point this year.
Huge, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're not right. You're not wrong, Tyler. All right, number four, Chris.
This is where I got Grant slid in, so I'm not going to repeat everything. So.
This is just getting disgusting, guys. Ugh, we got to get past these guys. We got to get past these guys here.
I'll save us. JT Tuimoloau, number four.
There we go.
Give me JT. I do think that JT's stats are misleading because I do think he is playing within a system that is asking him to contain more than it is asking him to speed rush around. I do think that he doesn't have the speed of a Jack Sawyer, so I think that's part of the reason why. But if you're talking about a guy who can play good run defense and who, you know, does his assignment that's asked of him, I don't think that's recognized enough in defensive line play to be able to just do the assignment that you're given. Now, obviously, that's hard for everybody to understand because you don't know exactly what every defense is running. However, I do think that the defense that Jim Knowles is asking them to run does require JT Tuimoloau to not just flat out go after the quarterback every single time.
A defensive lineman's job is to set the edge.
Mm-hmm.
And JT does that incredibly well. Just ask Penn State. There's been several times JT set the edge and ended up with an interception against them. just being in the right place at the right time.
Yeah. Don't ask Penn State about JT, man. They're going to have a breakdown.
I'm not going to repeat everything JR said. I have JT at number four as well. Yes, JR.
Guess who had the most pressures on Ohio State last year?
Hold
JT.
On. Can I
he
guess
didn't get
who
home
second?
Every single time, but he was getting pressure.
Was
Sorry,
Sawyer
my computer's
second.
Dying. I got to
plug All her. Right, go plug her in. Number three, Chris.
See, I gave JT a little bit of love. I actually got him up one higher than you guys. I got him at number three. And for all the obvious reasons.
All right. While JR is fixing his PC, let me go on and do my number three next, if my computer will agree with me. Here's where I have someone neither of you probably have on your list, and I don't get it. Abdul Carter from Penn State.
Oh, Eric.
Dude was an amazing linebacker, moved to defensive end this year. I don't understand how either one of you don't have him on your list.
We haven't seen him play defensive line.
He's exactly. going to be fantastic. Trust me. Did you watch the guy play linebacker? I kid you. I forget which one of the lists I looked at. They had him number one defensive end in the Big Ten this year. Now,
Eric,
I think that's crazy.
Can I tell you a story?
Yeah, here. Let's hear a story.
Okay. So there's this place around my new house now called Jiffy Treat. All right. It's a wonderful little ice cream shop. They got good food, good ice cream. Okay. Well, they have something called ice cream nachos, which you would think hot fudge, ice cream. I mean, they have like little sprinkle jalapenos, and the chips are waffle cone, cut in circles. How does that sound bad? Right? You're like, oh, this sounds delicious. This sounds wonderful. Well, you know what happens when you go through a drive-thru and your food takes forever and they make the ice cream on the waffle cone nachos and then they don't even think to give it to you in the car? The waffle cone chips get super soggy and then it just kind of like meshes in. So then you just have a regular ice cream with hot fudge and that's all you have. And I'm not saying that's Abdul Carter, but it's very possible we just have a regular defensive lineman who is nothing super special. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe.
All right. I cannot
wait. But if you tell me to trust James Franklin, no thanks.
I am not telling you to trust James Franklin, and we will talk about him here in a little bit after the commercial. But what I am telling you is that I can trust what my eyeballs saw in his play last year as a linebacker, especially when he played on the line of scrimmage. This move was not made simply because they didn't have a place for him at linebacker anymore. This move was made because when he played on the line of scrimmage as a blitzer in the linebacking position, he dominated the line of scrimmage. He's put some weight on. He's put some muscle on. I think he's going to have an amazing year.
I put some weight on too, but I'm not looking for an amazing year for me.
By the way, my wife agrees with your story there, apparently.
But doesn't it sound great? Like, Waffle Co. nachos.
It does sound great, yeah. All right, where you're at number three. I took your spot there,
Jay. Yeah, it would have been better if we just skipped it. Mason Graham, number three. Okay, moving on.
Number two, Chris.
Number two, I got Mason Graham.
Oh,
that's okay.
It hurts. I don't like it, but I got him there.
We can sulk.
That's all I can say.
Yeah. Number two, Tyleek Williams. I think Tyleek Williams plays a lot of snaps and does very well. I don't think he gets tired as easily. I think Jim Knowles puts a lot on his plate in the middle of the field, or in the middle of the line of scrimmage. And I think that one of his most underrated parts of his game, people started to notice it throughout the middle of the year, but his ability to get his hands up to time when guys are going to throw the ball and to take advantage of lesser experienced quarterbacks that way, I think is fantastic. If you watch that Penn State game, that was bothering Drew Aller. Go back and watch the game and see Tyleek and how he was able to get himself into some of those angles. Jim Knowles knew that Drew Aller was going to throw that ball short just about every time. And he didn't tell Tyleek to just go after him every single time. He stayed back. He used the angles well. I think Tyleek is severely underrated by other people. He's the second best defensive lineman in the Big Ten.
I agree with you 100%, JR, for the first time tonight. I'm kidding. I have Tyleek number two. I think, by the way, have you guys seen pictures of this guy?
He's scary.
From his offseason
work. Look ripped.
Holy smokes. This guy, here's my hot take. I think he gets drafted ahead of JT Tuimoloau and maybe even Jack Sawyer in the NFL draft. That's
defensive tackle as ahead of a defensive. That just doesn't happen in the draft very
JT,
often.
I can see. If Jack has a season, I think he's going to have.
Yeah, I know. I'm.
But if
I
Jack's
said,
a disappointment, I could see.
Now, hold on. Go back and rewind. Listen to what I said. JT, maybe even Jack Sawyer.
Yeah. I could see it happening with Jack. I don't think it's likely, but I could see it happening.
All right. Number one, I think we all have the same dude.
If he finishes off the year or goes through this year the way he finished last, it's got to be Jack Sawyer. I look for him. He looks more comfortable at home at the defensive end spot than that Jack crap they had him playing last season. I think he's going to go out there and just be dominant this season.
It just makes sense, right? Put the Jack at Jack. I mean, that's what Jim Knowles is going for, right? He's like, hey, this, call the guy by his name. Sorry, bad joke. Yes, Jack Sawyer is number one for me. I think that Jack Sawyer in the second half of the year showed what Jim Knowles needs to be doing with him. I think that Jim Knowles was a little bit hesitant because he didn't want to give up those big plays, which I understood. I wasn't necessarily mad about it in those kind of games against like Michigan State and Minnesota, you know, stuff like that. But at the end of the day, I mean, you got to trust your three other defensive linemen that they can keep the contain, and you got to just let Jack go eat. And I think that Jim Knowles is going to do that this year. And I think Jack is going to have a very good season, could play himself into a top 10, possibly even top 5 pick.
They just need to let Jack cook.
Let Jack
cook. Let Captain Jack cook. The dude is going to – he's going to wreck teams. He was the one that signaled this, let's come back and run it back. He was the lead. He was the captain in that. Was Jack. Captain Jack. By the way, he's got to be a captain this year, right?
Absolutely.
He's got to be a captain.
I want him to wear the blocko.
I was going to say, real quick, who do you think wears the blocko?
I think it's G.
I can see
that. I don't really
that.
Want it to be G, but it feels like that's going to be him.
But you know what? Let me throw Tyleek out there. Let's see another big man wear it. We had Jonathan Cooper wear it there a while back. Let's see the big man wear it.
I would love to see Travion Henderson wear it. That would be awesome.
Oh, I like that.
For jersey sales alone, let's see it.
Yeah. I like that for a lot of reasons. Did you guys hear his personal testimony he gave about his life and dealing with like sleep depression and sleep Where
was it at that walk by faith?
Yes. Yeah. The dude is really going places outside of football.
He did that for free, guys. I mean, that was a free event.
Like, there was three of the guys. Was it him,
G
Scott and Emeka? Yeah,
Emeka. Emeka's gotten
NIL to go do something like that for free for teenagers to try to speak that like into their lives. Like, that's awesome. Sorry.
Oh my gosh, this might be the coolest name I've seen so far. Ken Taco Hut. That is awesome. Love your day, man. That is great. All the scoopers have just arrived. So
is that better than Big Mac Mary?
Nothing's better than Big Mac Mary, man. Nothing's better. I almost someone asked if I was worried about Purdue this year, and I was like, heck no, I'm not worried about Purdue. I was like, you can bring your drum, you know, bring your Nazi helmet wearing drum guys. Bring Big Mac Mary with you. It's not going to matter.
That was Dylan on the call-in show that asked us.
Yes, that's right. All right, we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, Scoopers, we've got something fun for you. Hang tight, everybody.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
The OHIO podcast is brought to you by Mastermind. Mastermind specializes in 360-degree, high-definition mobile video mapping, GIS integration, and traffic safety studies. Mastermind cares about traffic safety and keeping you safe on the roadway. Visit Mastermind at onlinemastermind.com.
I think out of all the t-shirts that we made before the new logo and the new merch was made, this was my favorite.
That was my favorite. I still can't get my wife to give mine back.
Oh, yeah? Bobby's wearing it around, huh?
Always.
Yeah, I like these shirts. We in fact, out of all of them, we sold out of these the fastest.
Yeah, we did.
A lot of people like that t-shirt. All right, guys. So this is funny. This is I was watching one of our sister podcasts on the College Huddle community, and it was the Common Fan podcast, which is a Nebraska podcast. Great podcast, great dudes. One of the guys on there, his name is Geoff from Lincoln, and he is actually pretty well known because he calls into the Jim Rome show. He's been calling in the Jim Rome show for decades. That's how he got the name Geoff from Lincoln. Jim Rome gave that to him. You want to talk about a lot of people in the chat might not even know who Jim Rome is. That's how
I wish I didn't. He ranks right up there with Colin Coward as people I just despise.
It's unique. You have to have to me, it's kind of similar to how I view Zach Smith. It's a certain kind of person that has to like his show. It's not for everybody is what I'm getting at. There's a place for it though. So that being said, not that Zach Smith and Jim Rome are similar. That's not what I mean. I'm just saying that,
you're just saying it's kind of like an acquired taste for some
people. It's an acquired taste. Yeah. And I acquired that taste when I was in my early 20s. So I don't mind him. Now, I tell you, I absolutely – the other one you mentioned, Chris, I despise
Colin Coward.
Colin
Coward's
– I've never –
he's an idiot.
Him. I've never liked that guy. West Coast bias, if there ever was one. Colin Cowturd. Jeremiah Yoder. I've heard that one before. That's funny. Jar of Happiness. Jim Rome is burning. Yeah, I remember that. They tried to do that on ESPN for a hot minute. That lasted about a week and a half. All right. So anyways, Geoff from Lincoln, they gave on their podcast, they did the top five most annoying coaches on their schedule for the year. And it was pretty enjoyable. That was pretty funny how that they came up with their list. Geoff's number one was Ryan Day. Ryan Day was number one most annoying. And here's why. Geoff is also a Notre Dame fan. And Notre Dame fans are really upset at Ryan Day.
What a sad existence.
For Ryan being a Nebraska and Notre Dame fan.
It's not like either of them are good at basketball to help you out. Like,
yeah.
Just all pain.
Right. I don't understand how he could do that. Like, I'm so pro Buckeyes that it's like, to me, if someone said, hey, who's the other team you root for? It's whoever's playing the team up north.
Right.
That's the way my daddy taught me. Your number one team's Ohio State. Your number two's whoever's playing them, right? Who used to say that all the time? Was that Earl Bruce? Didn't Earl Bruce used to say that?
I think so.
And he probably got that from Woody Hayes, more than likely. So, anyways, I might have to bring Geoff on here one night so we can roast him. I think that'd be a lot of fun. Anyways, here's what we're going to do. I totally told him. I'm stealing your idea. I absolutely love this. So let's do our top five most annoying coaches on our schedule. And I think this list is going to be really interesting. Now, Chris, I had you start first. I'll have you go last this time. JR, I'll have you start first, and then we'll go clockwise again. It'll go me, then Chris. So go for it, JR. Number five for you.
This was such a hard list to make. Is the criteria of annoying, how did they do it? Is it like annoying to your fan base or just annoying in general? Like,
and you can get any reason you want. Cause my number five, you want me to go first with number five?
Yeah, you go first.
Okay. I'll go first. Chris, you go second. We'll give JR time to think about this. He's struggling with this. That's part of the, JR. You're too nice.
Well,
I'm not nice. You're young. See, listen, this is how this is going to go. The chat's going to agree with me on this. JR, you're so young that you're still nice. The older you get, the crankier you get. So you're nice. I'm not nice as much anymore. And Chris, he's never nice. He's never nice. He's just so old. He's just like, get off my lawn on everything. All right, number one for me. All right, this is going to sound interesting. And I can't wait to crush him. Joe Moorhead. I'm still ticked at that guy running the same dang play over and over again. And we have no clue how to stop the run to the left side against Oregon when he was offensive coordinator there. So this year, I want a shutout against Akron. No points. Don't even cross the midfield. Nothing. Shut the door on him. I want Joe Moorhead fired after the game. That's what I think about him.
Give him the Herm Edwards. Fire him on the field.
Well, you know, I didn't even think about nailing Joe Moorhead. Because Akron is just so insignificant in my mind that I didn't even consider putting them on the list. I actually went with Dan Lanning at number five for no other reason than the simple fact that I hate Oregon. I hate Oregon. I don't like anything about Oregon. I don't like their players. I despise their coaches. Give me Dan Lanning at number five.
Dan Lanning is going to become incredibly annoying to this fan base. Mark it down.
Because Pac-10 coaches run their mouths, Eric. And well, God, I wish Lincoln Riley was on here so I could blast him.
Oh, I know. I wish we played USC so I could just spit on that guy. But we don't, so he can't make the list. All right. So I don't have Dan Lanning on my list yet, but he was my next guy. But I really want to destroy Akron. Simply just because I want to see their coach fired.
You've convinced me, Eric.
Yes?
I actually, when I was doing this, I was like, is it me to put Joe Moorhead? Like, I kind of hate him, but at the same time, he coaches at Akron. Can I really hate him that much? But just the thought of shutting them out, not letting him cross the 50-yard line does make me happy. So, yeah, Joe Moorhead, number five for me. I don't mean to just outright copy you, but...
That's fine. You can copy my list. It's a great list. I ain't going to lie. Number four, Kurt Cignetti. Who in the world does this guy think he is? On his introductory press conference, he's introduced that night in the basketball. And he puts in the same breath as Indiana. Indiana's going to go to Indianapolis and play for a conference championship. And he mentions Purdue and Michigan and Ohio State. Get my school out of your mouth, you insignificant person. You coach at Indiana. Know your role and shut your mouth, man. Sorry. We need to destroy him, too, this year. I really believe, by the way, Indiana's defensive line's going to be pretty good.
It's gonna be good.
We just approved that message. But, come on, man. You do not call out the beast in Ohio State, the team up north. And, dude, you haven't even beaten Purdue. Like, come on, man. Like, at this point, I even want to see Purdue trash you. This guy, come on, man. Get out of here.
Okay, for me, number four, it's got to be the man who defies time, Kirk Ferentz. Did you just retire already, you old ass?
Jeez, Chris. He's even older than you.
Dude, the guy coached the original game at Rutgers. I'm telling you, he was on the sidelines as an advisor or as an assistant. I'm guaranteeing it. The guy has no offense. Never has, never will. I am tired. Now he plays great defense. Our coach is great defensive football, but you know what? I'm tired.
It's not even him. It's not even him. No, defensive coordinator who's a stud.
But I'm tired of seeing a team, and the coach still have his job, that has a defense that outscores your offense. And it's not like it's an occasional thing. Kirk Ferentz, retire. Get out of my life.
Do you think they're so worried that they're going to be insignificant if he retires?
They're insignificant now, Eric. The only reason they have gone to a Big Ten title game at all is because of the stupid divisions.
They play in the West. Yep.
He needs to go away.
My number four, and I think this is more for recruiting than actually playing them, but maybe he pisses me off when we play him too, but Dan Lanning at Oregon. I want to make every recruit that chooses Oregon over us, not that there have been a ton, that one wide receiver last year, but I want to make them question everything about what did they decide to do going to Oregon. They went out to Eugene, where there's a bunch of mountains, and there's nothing, and nothing for them after football, and I want them to reevaluate. Should I really be thinking about Oregon over Ohio State in this stupid situation? So Dan Lanning, I would like to make him and his stupid, like, oh, I'm going to stay at Oregon and build it forever. I'd like to make him think, oh, I can never win at Oregon, and move on from there.
Ooh, I like that thought. I like that thought. Who has the dumbest look on their face at end of ball games in the Big Ten? Which coach has the
almost, well, now that Harbaugh's gone.
When they lose, he's got the absolute dumbest look on his face. And it's usually because he can't figure out how in the world his dumb play calls didn't work. James Franklin. That guy, you ever seen him at the end of a game in a loss? Does he not have a punchable face?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Ask Penn State fans. A lot of them say he does, especially at the end of those games. And then on top of that, now he thinks he's a doctor because he slept at a Comfort Inn or something last night. I mean, come on, dude. How in the world do you think you know more about medical field and the player's health than the doctors do? That alone should put him on everybody's list. And then do you think at the end of that court, when he found out that guy got all that money, he had the same look on his face as he does at the end of every game against Ohio State? Like, it's almost like he wakes up and goes, where am I? How'd I get here? That's James Franklin for me.
I'll tell you what. Number three for me, I went Kurt Cignetti here. You know, Eric, you pointed it out. This guy was a winning coach at James Madison. James Madison, come on. What do they play? Liberty? Is that about their toughest game on the schedule, I think? Come on. And you're going to come out and start calling out Big Ten teams? You're a joke till you prove it. You're the bottom rung on the ladder, buddy. Step aside until you start winning some football games.
Oh my gosh. We got the chat fired up now. Buckeye Blitz, good to see you tonight. They're only doctors. What do they even know? They only went to school for that.
Right?
Oh my gosh, I can't put that one 79 Steely Matt, but that is funny. Okay. Yes. Oh my gosh. Yes! That's my point, that you said it so well. Franklin always looks like he's constipated. Yes! That's what I'm talking about. He does. He's always like, it's like he's holding back. Oh, that was that's the best one so far.
Well, I've got something, but we'd have to have a wave our family friendly.
No, we can't wave that. We're not going to keep that.
We're not going to do that.
JR number three.
My number three, and you guys already both said him, but Kirk Cignetti, for similar reasons. Main reason is because stupid schools like IU believe that the Big Ten is low enough rung to hire Group of Five coaches. I would prefer that Ohio State kick them into submission, destroy them, make them question their existence, make Kirk Cignetti question if he ever should have left the stupid belt, and just never hire another Group of Five coach ever again. I have to tell you guys, since I started running this Big Ten show, I am appalled at how unserious certain programs are about football and the fact that they are making the same amount of money off the TV deal that Ohio State is. And quite frankly, I know my in-laws like IU, and that's fine. They can stay in for basketball purposes, whatever. But for football purposes, they should not even be in the conference. They should not be getting the cut of money that we are getting or anything like that. They are not a serious program. I'm glad they hired a good G5 coach and not some terrible one. But at the end of the day, that was a terrible decision.
My wife.
Yes, I saw it.
I'm not putting that up there. We all have that word. Don't worry.
Well, I can't all say right. Any other word.
Yeah.
We're trying to keep it family friendly here.
Exactly. And who was it? Was it Mac? Bobby Mac. That's why I can't call in to the call-in shows Thursday night. Which, by the way, if you haven't gone back and listened to the call-in show Thursday, you need to go back. I actually cut out the whole, just the call-in from Alex. And reposted it was, just Alex.
Yeah, it was so good, though.
Oh,
I mean,
my gosh.
He was on fire. He got us all pumped up, Eric.
He came in at 100 miles an hour. I like there was no, like, it's like when you open the door and he ran in. It was just, hi, welcome to the call-in show.
He came in at 100 flying. And hit the accelerator. Yeah. Oh
my gosh, that was great. Okay, number two. Now, JR, I know your number three had a little bit of a personal touch to it there, didn't it? Mm-hmm. Okay, my number two has a personal touch to it. And Chris, you hit everything on the head. But my gosh, Kirk Ferentz, listen, I don't feel sorry for Iowa fans. I don't. You guys are the ones who put up with mediocrity. You're the ones who sit there and be like, we're okay winning 7 or 8 games, and every now and then maybe we'll get 9 or 10, and we'll do this for 3, 4, I don't know, maybe my lifetime. You're okay with that because you've put up with it. But Kirk Ferentz has held that fan base hostage by putting his dumb son, who had no business being an offensive coordinator, in as offensive coordinator. And then when the school came and said, hey, you should probably fire him, he ends up firing his own son and keeping his own job. What kind of dad does that? What kind of human being says, all right, I guess I'll fire my son and I'll keep coaching here? My goodness gracious. This guy is as old as dirt. He should have retired years ago. Now, this is personal for me. I know a lot of you saying, who is Iowa? Who cares? And I'm not getting into the whole story, but let me just say this. I hope we never lose to them ever again. I want them to be the new Indiana on our schedule. It's an auto W. We will beat them for the till the end of time. You can just mark it down, start the streak. It's never going to end. I could care less if Iowa ever wins a football game again. To me, next to that team up north, and by the way, their color scheme's pretty close to theirs too, next to the team up north, I could care less about them. Can't stand Iowa. And by the way, their fans are dirty, filthy people. Tell me I'm wrong, Chris. You know I'm right. We met them. We talked to them. Their trophies are despicable. Personal story.
Pretty disgusting. Pretty disgusting trophy. I think you just want to win that trophy and keep it here, Eric.
I want to win it and burn it.
Burn it. Yeah. I'm with you there. So number two, speaking of disgusting, this is where I got James Franklin. He is just a despicable, deplorable human being. You know, not only is he an average coach, not only does he have the stupidest look in college football, as you said, but he's just not a nice person, not a good person at all. You look at what he did to a player struggling with mental health issues. Tried to yank the kid's scholarship out from under him. A kid who's already mentally fragile, and you're going to go and pull that crap. He's just an awful human being. I have no positive redeeming thing to say about him. He ranks right up there with Jerry Sandusky. He really does. Penn State, by God, you can pick him. Man, can you pick some awful human beings to let in your program. Eric, I am not even going to go on anymore. It's just, I'm going to, like I said, I'm going to go off of our family-friendly rating. I keep talking about this scumball. So. Franklin's two.
And his face always looks like he's constipated, as as the chat pointed out.
Well, he is a piece of crap, so.
My number two is the old hag, Kirk Ferentz, as well. He's stupid. There you go. Drink again, Sarah. similar reasons to Indiana. Like, at a certain point, it's no longer the Big Ten West is no longer around. Kirk Ferentz is no longer going to be successful in the Big Ten. He's going to be facing more talented teams, and it's not going to go well for him. It's annoyed the crap out of me that in the Big Ten show that I do, almost every single person that comes on is like, don't sleep on Iowa. Don't sleep on Iowa. Iowa could be much better this year. And it's like, no, they're not in the Big Ten West anymore. They're not going to continue to play Minnesota. They're not going to continue to play down Wisconsin. Like, they are going to face teams like USC, Washington, Oregon, teams that actually try to get talented players on their team, and they're not going to be able to do anything, and they're not going to be able to get any more than maybe 8 wins a season anymore. And it's just the mediocre. I mean, you think Penn State fans are okay with mediocre? Welcome to Iowa fans. I mean,
you don't think 6 points a game is going to do it for you, JR?
Not against USC and Washington and Oregon.
And I'm sorry.
Ohio State, Michigan, like, yeah, go ahead, Eric.
Iowa celebrating beating Iowa State is like Ohio State celebrating when we beat Akron. It's not significant. Oh, it's such a big rivalry because that's in state. Like, Iowa State is like, and the fact that they even lose to Iowa State at all is embarrassing to this conference, in my opinion. It's embarrassing. Like, come on. I am sorry. You are Iowa. You get the pick of the litter in your state. Not that your state is any good at all. But my point is my goodness, you should never lose to Iowa State in your conference. And they act like that is the Super Bowl to them. It's ridiculous. I'm calling out Iowa fans, man.
Mark Rogers went back. I wish I could find this video. But Iowa hasn't played like a Power 5 opponent. And they're out of conference?
No, because they count Iowa State every year.
Yeah, they have Iowa State every year, and they're like, oh, this is our, you know, our out-of-conference opponent. It's like, no, this is basically a G5. Go play somebody for real.
Yeah, does Iowa and USC play? I think they do, don't they?
I think they do this year.
That is going to be
– USC is going to rock them. Deontay.
You think?
Yeah.
Yeah, Lynn is a good defensive coordinator. He's going to be like Jim Knowles in 2022, where they're going to struggle against the really good teams, but they're going to be able to beat up on the bad teams.
See, here's my thing, and this is I know we're getting a little off topic, but this is good because we all know who number one is, and we're just absolutely going to lambast him here in a minute. I think the teams out west who came in are going to struggle at by the end of the season because they're not used to the physicality of this conference that's going to wear on them as the season progresses. I think they're going to start. Though? Yeah, I do. It is physical, JR.
I used to think that. But my word, some of these teams are just awful. Minnesota is like, oh, we're physical. We can do things. It's like, don't you have PJ Fleck? He wears way too tight of pants. You're not a physical team when your coach wears that tight of pants. It just doesn't happen. Wisconsin, they have Luke Fickell now. They're going to get more physical. Yes, I agree with that. Kirk Ferentz, he gets fat guys. Like, I'm not trying to be mean to the players, but they're not athletic. They're very big, and good for them. He has the occasional defensive lineman who is an athletic specimen, but that's it. Like, he has the occasional white DB that gets drafted. I don't know. I used to think the same thing, and then I started looking at it more, and I'm like, man, these teams that aren't, you know, the team up north, Penn State and Michigan State, whenever they decide to hire a good coach that doesn't, you know, do things on the phone. I didn't want to lose the rating there for a second.
Could you imagine if we could pick him for this list? Well, where we were right? Gone?
Oh, my word. Yeah, I mean, like, guys, we have to admit it at some point. The Big Ten, outside of the top, sucks.
That's every conference in football.
Greg Schiano, Luke Fickell, like those are some of the only Matt Rhule. I like Matt Rhule. I think Matt Rhule is going to do good stuff at Nebraska. Like, those are some of the only coaches that are actually doing anything, actually trying to get players in the Big Ten. Like,
this is going to be a great case study this year to watch these four teams come in. My prediction, JR, is by the end of the year they are going to be wore out because the Big Ten is so much more physical than other conferences. I think the SEC is physical in the lines, right? And the SEC typically has better athletes who can run more than in the Big Ten, where the Big Ten has more beefy guys up front. But the Big Ten absolutely is much more physical than the Pac-12 ever was, ever wished they could be. Yeah. And I think by the end of the year, those teams will be a little bit beat up, which is why my prediction of Ohio State, if we go out to Eugene and lose in Eugene, we will beat them in Indy.
Yeah.
JR does not
like
that.
I don't deny Ohio State's physicality or Penn State's physicality or, you know, that team up north. Like, I don't deny their physicality. It's like Northwestern and Indiana and Minnesota. Like, these teams that are like, we're tough. We can do it. No, you're not. You stink.
Northwestern. Never good. Stink. Northwestern shocked us last year.
Well,
come on, brother.
Not last year. Northwestern did a good job last year.
Hey, but and if I'm not mistaken,
the year before they were like 1-11. What the heck, Pat Fitzgerald?
You know, and you're dogging PJ, and I get why, because no coach should coach without socks on. I'm sorry.
Tighter pants than my wife.
But has not Minnesota had under him their most successful run in the last, you know, however long? And he's won more bowl games, which is, I think, kind of the way you can look at, you
they
know,
played
conferences.
Bowling Green in their bowl last year.
Not Bowling Green, but before that. Didn't he beat someone from the SEC?
I don't know. If you have Fleck coins on your football team, like, I don't know. This isn't Mickey Mouse's clubhouse.
That really bothers
this is
you,
a football
doesn't it?
It really
team.
Does.
You know what? I'm gonna. One of these days, JR is gonna go out to the mailbox. He's gonna.
There's gonna be a Fleck coin.
There's gonna be these Fleck coins.
Hey, you know what? I did get the other day in the mail. Hold on, I'll be right back.
Woo!
I think I know what's coming. Should we go on or should we wait?
Cue the music.
Oh my god! I wish I would have known this. This is hilarious. If anybody knows what's coming in the chat, predict what you think JR is about to do. We've talked about this for a couple months. We haven't mentioned it in a while. I know Chris knows what's coming. All right, Should we go on, Chris?
He can hear us. Go on. All right. I heard him in the background.
Number one is not even debatable.
Woo!
Oh! Oh, look how beautiful.
He's styling and profiling.
Give us, hey, stand up and give us a twirl there. Show it off. Look at that. Oh.
That was probably loud.
Oh, my goodness.
And he's having a hard time keeping those alligators down.
Show, show everybody what's on the chest there. Look at that.
Can I get two claps in the JR?
Woo! Woo! The Ohio State Silk Touch robe. JR fulfilling his obligation after losing that bet. Nice. Hey, I got to ask you, you're really going to wear that thing, aren't you?
It's comfy, yeah.
and
I might
Chris
wear it on every show.
Yes.
Tell me Chris, I won't, Eric.
Chris, where can our listeners get one of those?
Right here. And you can go on to the store site on the OHIOpodcast.com. Order yours now.
Click the store, get one of those, and if you're a member, you get free shipping.
Absolutely.
Right? So $3.99 a month makes you a member of the OHIO podcast. Get behind the scenes content, free shipping on orders of $50 or more from the store. Just head on over to the OHIOpodcast.com website, click on the store, and get you your red silk touch bathroom.
Now, I will say, unfortunately, it does only come in a large, extra large size. So, Eric,
more large than extra large.
Eric, you and I will not probably be wearing this anytime soon. But for tiny little guys like JR, you know, it's a good fit.
Sean said, hook a brother up, man. He's got to get one now.
Might go shirtless next week.
Ooh. Do not tempt the ladies. Do not tempt the ladies, JR.
Tell Sarah not to watch that week.
Well, if she does, she won't remember it because all the time she says stupid.
Yeah, just make sure she's drinking that time.
Oh, my gosh. All right, guys, here we go. Number one, it's not debatable. There's not even a reason to even mention his name. If you get on national television, win your first game as a head coach, and then cry, not because you won the game, but because your idol, Jim Harbaugh, wasn't there. And you get so emotional. Oh, my God. We won for Jim. Get out of here, you wimp. We're going to destroy you this year. If you even have a job after the NCAA gets done with you, you cheating piece of poo.
You know, Eric, you know, you're right. There's no question. He's going to be crying for a whole different set of reasons this year. One, they ain't going to be seeing a bowl game for a long time. Two, their national title is going away. And three, their team is going to suck. He doesn't have Connor there to give him the magic clipboard anymore. The guy is going down. I'm telling you, he is going to be lucky to win 8 games this season. I think, you know, 6-7 isn't unrealistic. The guy's an idiot. He's just an idiot. First of all, obviously he's an idiot because he's the only one who stayed around when the rest of the rats deserted the ship. They all knew what was coming. How can he be so stupid and so blind as not to realize it? I can't keep going. The guy's an idiot. He's a moron. Maybe we ought to send him a robe to wipe his tears. I don't know.
Oh, my gosh.
And now he's stuck with Tony Alford. If that doesn't make him cry, I don't know what will.
If you're a fan of that team, you need to seriously question his decision-making ability by right that there. Move alone.
I did not like Mike Hart. He played for that team up north, and my opinions are well documented on that. But to have let Mike Hart go and bring in this idiot, yeah.
More. They're learning about it now. Did you guys see the board today? The Michigan, like 24/7 board?
Mm-mm. I don't like them. I don't. I just make videos about
them. They are so upset. One of the guys posted an update on Jordan Davison. Jordan Davison was at Michigan this weekend. By the way, he was liking Coach Lachlan tweets late Saturday night. He since unliked him because somebody pointed it out on Twitter. But I had somebody message me and say, go look at Jordan Davison's likes really fast.
Yeah.
He was liking all of Carlos Lachlan's, like, you know, motivational tweets and stuff. It's like, oh my gosh. How bad do you have to be in an official visit to have them liking the other coach's stuff? Anyway, yeah, I have to ask you guys, when it comes to that interview, right, and I was just showing pictures of it, who was more uncomfortable during that interview, the girl that was interviewing him or Blake Corum? Because that was also the game where Blake Corum had, like, the blood coming out of his nose that, you know, like, if a football player bleeds, only guys up north have done that, guys. I don't know if you guys have realized it, but nobody else has ever bled during a football game other than the team up north, their players. You know, they all changed their profile pictures to it. It was, you know, a historic moment for them up there. You know, tough, smash, whatever. I don't know. Who do you guys think was more uncomfortable, Blake Corum as Sharon Moore, like, was, like, crying on his shoulder with his head, you know, or the interviewer as he was, like, cussing her out with tears in his eyes?
Yeah, it's got to be the interviewer, right? I mean, I'm sure Blake Corum's seen him cry in practice many times before that. But yeah. The interviewer was like, oh, my gosh, the dude is crying in my interview. Like,
he was having Jimmy separation syndrome, man.
Woo! I could go a lot of different ways there, and I'm not going to Penn State this thing. Leave it at that.
Oh, my gosh.
Are you saying that she was uncomfortable?
Limit! JR, I'm assuming my Sharona Moore is number one for you as well.
Heck yeah.
Oh.
Sharon Moron. Gosh. It's not more. It's Sharon Moron.
My Sharon Moron. Today.
Thank you, Chris.
My gosh, that was a lot of fun. I feel better. Do you feel better?
We got to find something that's therapeutic all the time, man.
I feel better.
Every show.
You know what? I think John Kennedy's right. Sometimes it's just good to yell about football.
That's right.
Hey, did you guys see Juk put him on his show the other day?
Who?
Juk put John Kennedy's rant about Michigan on his show
the other day. No, I haven't seen that. Which one was it?
I think it was the weekend show. I think it was the most recent one that he put out there. He was like, man, I don't know who this guy is, but I love his passion. I love all, you know, like all this Jack, stuff. I know there's other people that watch.
You don't know Kennedy, man? Come on.
Everybody knows John Kennedy.
I told him in a comment, I was like, dude, you have to get Kennedy on and you guys have to do a show together. That would just be gold.
Barb, thank you. She says, wow, you guys, we all feel better. Thank you, Barb. We were having fun. We have fun here. Thank you, Eric. Great segment, he said. Appreciate that. Guys, thank you so much for being in here tonight. That was a lot of fun. JR, good job on making that the last thing we did there. That was a good on you. That's right, Coconut. John Kennedy from the Always Irish Show. He's a Notre Dame podcaster. Good friend of ours over at the College Huddle. He is actually Always Irish is the Notre Dame affiliate of the College Huddle. So he's just one of 73 of us over at the College Huddle, including Cocaine Willie from K-State and the belligerent Beavs from Oregon State. And we've got all kinds of great podcasts for all of you. And we got a new subscriber. Thank you very much, Tom. That reminds me, if you haven't already, please subscribe. Make sure you hit the like button. It really does help out the channel as we continue to grow. Guys, we've had such great significant growth so far this offseason. It's unbelievable how much we've grown, and we really do appreciate it. And it's because of all of you who are in the chat, who show up every single week to watch us rant and rave and have fun and talk football. We're no different than all of you. And by the way, guess what? You all can participate too. Every Thursday night, 8 o'clock Eastern, we do our call-in show. And you can call in, chat football with us. You got something you want to talk about, by all means, you can bring it to the show. We usually try to have a topic ready just in case no one really knows what we talk about. But a lot of you, Sean calls in almost every week. We appreciate him. Devin's been calling in. Matt's been calling in.
Man, Devin challenges us, Eric.
Coconut Dreams. What's that?
Devin challenges us, too. He's
Devin. And he also wrestles alligators and has a pet raccoon named Cujo. The dude is awesome. I want to be his best friend. That's like if you lived in Ohio, dude, I'd be like, that's my buddy. Chris is there. Thank you, buddy. Buckeye Blitz here tonight. Thank you so much, guys. Really do appreciate each and every single one of you for coming in and helping us grow. Chris and I are going to have some videos for you guys. Mm-hmm. So remember, if you aren't a subscriber, now's the time to subscribe. I know some behind the scenes stuff. I'm not going to talk about it here because it's personal, family related, and that's why I know. I'm going to spill the beans behind the scene and let you all know what really happened between Gene Smith and why him and help me out,
Luke
Chris.
Fickle.
Gosh darn it. Luke Fickle. He never called Luke Fickle. Why he never called him for an interview. Not saying he would have got the job, but he should at least had a phone call.
Absolutely.
And we're going to talk about that behind the scenes. You're not going to want to miss that. If you've been a member for more than a month, so two installments of $3.99, you'll get your t-shirt, your official a member t-shirt of the OHIO podcast.
Hey, Eric, we now have a new name for JR. Did you see that? Check out Coconut's last post.
Let's see. Great show tonight, Boggsy, Wildman, and Silky Smooth JR. Yes, we found it. We're still going to be JR in the know, but I like Silky Smooth. But you know what? Who else was silky smooth?
Chris Olave.
He's
by the way,
OG.
just got two autographed photos of Chris Olave coming this way.
You know who I still need, bro.
Oh, I've got him coming too.
Yeah. I don't want to tell everybody because I don't want him to go out and buy it from you before I get a chance to. I still don't have CJ.
No, that's what I'm saying. I've got it coming.
Oh.
I've got 8 new photos coming this week.
Awesome. Hook me up. You know I'll buy it, man. I'm good for it.
Photos.
You do, because those walls are just bare, dude.
Hey, speaking of which, check these out real fast, guys.
Nice.
That's awesome.
Now, where did you get those at, Eric? Because I know they didn't come from me.
This one I got with my buddy Carl when we went into an autograph sign.
Well, that's not fair because Carl just has a way. Carl just walk up to the players and be like, dude,
and
I knew this player and that coach.
Yeah. And I like to thank my wife. She put these together for me.
Very
so
nice.
These will
she
be hanging on the
them.
Wall. Yeah. These will be hanging on the wall for me behind. So got some jerseys. AJ Hawk, by the way, is my all-time favorite Buckeye next to my cousin Ryan Miller, and my son is named Aiden Joel, AJ Boggs, after AJ Hawk, and he is number two on my list of all-time people I would love to interview here on the OHIO podcast. So if any of you know AJ Hawk and would be like, hey, you need to go on the OHIO podcast, I'd really appreciate that. And number one, by all means, is the man who I absolutely adore with all my heart. And you all know who that is, Sweater
Coach
Vest Tress. Himself,
yep.
Coach Tressel. We'll love to talk to that man. All right, guys, have a good night, everybody. Thank you so much. Come back Thursday night. We'll be ready for you for our call-in show, 8 o'clock Eastern. Looking forward to it. Be on the lookout for videos from Chris and I coming down later the pike later this week. As always, be kind to one another. I owe someone's OH. It's in Carmen, Ohio, with all your heart. Till next time, boys. OH!
I owe.
Go Bucks.